Afternoon, everyone. Hope we all made it through the week safely. Snow was nice, but we're ready for it to be over. Hopefully we don't have much more of that to deal with, but I know in years past some of our biggest snows have come at the end of March, so you never know. Cross our fingers. So when I was 12 or 13 years of age, I think it was 12 or 13, I might have been 11, I don't remember the exact time, but I was a young teenager or a preteen. One Sunday morning, I wanted to go to my cousin's house. My cousin lived about 2 miles up the street from where we lived. So I go and ask Mom, and Mom says, "No, I have other things I want you to get done today." And I kind of walk away, and I'm grumpy, and I'm going, you know, I go to school all week long, and they drag me to church all day on Saturday. This is my day. I want to go and play. So I go and ask her again, and she says, "Son, you have things that you need to get done." So being a very young, very immature man at the time, boy, whatever you want to call it, I snuck out the back door, I went through the woods, and popped up at my cousin's house. Now, my cousin's parents both worked, so we hung out and played, and about an hour later, my mom comes and knocks on the door, and I tell her, tell her I'm not here. "Oh, you know, Mrs. Earls, we've not seen Matt. Good luck finding him, though." And Mom goes away, and, you know, 4 or 5 hours later, we're done playing. It's dinner time. I'm getting hungry. It's time to go home. Let me tell you, the walk there was easy. The walk back was not so easy. All the way back home, I'm thinking, man, I'm going to get the daylights beaten out of me. I'm going to be grounded for a year. Dad's probably home by now. Dad's going to get in on it. I mean, this is not going to be good. And I walk in the front door, and Mom's sitting there, and she stands up, and she walks over, and she says, "Son, I love you. I hope you understand that." And she goes on about her business. With that in mind, I want to go over to Matthew 9. Matthew 9 and verse 9. Some of you know where I'm going with this. Matthew 9 and verse 9. And Jesus passed on from there. He saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax office, and he said to him, "Follow me." So he arose and followed him. Now it happened as Jesus sat at the table of the house that, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat down with him. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to the disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" And when Jesus heard that, he said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice." My mom taught me a valuable lesson that day that I didn't learn for many, many years to come. It was only when I became an adult, started having a relationship with God, that it dawned on me that my mom was teaching me about mercy. It's a valuable lesson, something I've learned now that I have kids of my own. I find that every now and then as a parent, you need to spank a child, and every now and then as a parent, you need to hug a child. There's an element of mercy that's involved there. But Christ is speaking here, and he says, "Learn what this means, that I desire mercy and not sacrifice." Let's think about where who he's talking to here and what's going on. He's speaking to the Pharisees. These are the religious leaders of the day. You know, and they're looking down at the sinners and the tax collectors. They're looking and saying, these people are worse off than us. They should be punished. Now, mercy is defined as compassion or forgiveness given to someone who is deserving of punishment. So they're looking at these guys in a way of, these guys need to be punished. Why are you wasting your time with these people who are deserving of punishment? But Christ goes on and quotes Hosea 6 and says, "Learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice." At the moment, the Pharisees are looking at forgiveness through the eyes of sacrifice. Their sacrifice, their atonement, their forgiveness of sin came from sacrificing animals. It wasn't necessarily a decision or a choice or something that they took ownership in. You know, when you go through the sacrifices in the Old Testament, there's sin offerings, there's sacrifices for atonement, there's all these different things. No one's given up really anything. An animal loses its life, but they don't have ownership in it. Now, I've heard this scripture used in the past to say that God just wants us to be happy. He desires mercy, not sacrifice. And he doesn't want me to sacrifice my happiness. So if I just love each other, love everyone, and have mercy for everyone, and have compassion, I don't need to worry about the Sabbath, or clean and unclean meats, or going to church, or doing anything. Because God wants me to be happy. I don't have to sacrifice my happiness. Christ says, mercy, not sacrifice. I'm suggesting to you today that this is not what Christ is saying. When he says, I desire mercy, not sacrifice, he's telling them that they need to take ownership in forgiveness and compassion. Not just sacrificing an animal to get forgiveness or compassion. There's more to it. You know, the Pharisees are looking down on everyone here, and they're not taking ownership. In Luke 6 and verse 36, Christ speaking again, he says, therefore be merciful just as your Father is merciful. One of the defining attributes of God the Father is mercy. Christ is saying, be like your Father. Don't rely on someone else's sacrifice to forgive someone else. Don't rely on sacrificing an animal or a punishment. Now, it's easier, in my opinion, it's easier to give someone forgiveness when they've been punished for whatever it is they needed forgiveness for. It's a little bit easier to forgive someone who made a mistake and spent 10 years in prison, or someone who makes a mistake and gets hurt, because there's a little bit of justification, right? So a couple of years back, we're plowing snow, and there's this guy who's just cutting donuts and everything right in front of the guys plowing the plow trucks. And we're honking our horn and we're screaming at this guy. And finally, he spins his car up into a snowbank and he's stuck. Instant justification, right? Instant gratitude for us. We're all kind of laughing at the guy. And he comes over and he's like, can you guys help me get out of this snowbank? And he's a 16, 17-year-old kid. And we let him shovel himself out for a good 20, 30 minutes before we walked over there to help him. And we finally said, all right, come on, let's go help the guy. Let's get him out. We hooked him to the truck. We pulled him out. And, you know, all was forgiven and we went away. But it was a lot easier to forgive him, because he got a little taste of his own medicine there. He kind of got stuck and he was joyriding, and it was a little easier for me to go over there and help him after watching him suffer for about a half an hour. That's not mercy. And that's not really me taking ownership in it. That's not me pardoning him in any way, shape, or form. That's me not being like our Father in heaven. Remember, mercy is forgiving someone that is due a punishment without the punishment. Titus 3 and verse 5, you don't have to turn there. I'll just quote Titus 3. Actually, we'll start in verse 4. Breaking into a thought here in Titus 3 and verse 4, he says, but when the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by the works of righteousness which were done, but according to his mercy he saved us. We're coming up on the Passover season, and we're starting to think about ourselves and our relationship with God and what Christ has done for us. Do we think about the mercy that he has given us? All of us were due a punishment, and instead, like my mom, he says, I love you. And he did away with that punishment. Do we think about that? And then do we extend that to others? Do we forgive others for trespasses without receiving punishment? My wife kind of zinged me a little bit this morning on the way here. She asked me this morning what I was going to speak on, and I said mercy. And she said, oh, okay, you know. And we're driving in, and we're coming down 78, and a guy cuts me off and then goes right back in the lane that he came from. And I'm going, what an idiot. You know, you get frustrated. And my wife says, please tell me what you're going to talk about again. You're right. Mercy. Right? We don't always think in the process of mercy. We don't think of the process. We don't think through the eyes of mercy, through the eyes of compassion and forgiveness without punishment, even when it's due, especially when it's due. It's something that we have to start thinking about if we don't already. It's easy to expect mercy but not give mercy. It's a lot harder to think in the process of mercy, think through the approach of mercy. As a parent, it's easier to do that with our children. There are times that, you know, our children will do something that may deserve a punishment that we might not punish them for. But then we go outside to the rest of the world and demand punishment. We need to be able to transfer that to the rest of the world, just like God the Father and Jesus Christ did. You know, the process that we're going through with the upcoming holy days and the fall holy days, the process of salvation is for all mankind because God the Father is merciful to everyone, not just us. And there's going to come a day when God shows that mercy to every man, woman, and child. We need to think in those terms. Hopefully we already do. Hopefully I'm the only one that sneaks out when they're a kid and does stupid things and gets mad at people who cuts them off. If not, I hope we do remember that we need to be merciful as our Father is merciful. And remember that we were saved and forgiven not because of our own accord, but because of the mercy of Jesus Christ.